Daniel Sedlacek, Book 5, Chapter 6, The Ecclesiastical History of England, by Venerable Bede. Chapter 6. The same bishop, by his prayers and blessing, delivered from death one of his clerks, who had bruised himself by a fall. 686 A.D. Nor do I think that this further miracle, which Heribald, the servant of Christ, says was wrought upon himself, is to be passed over in silence. He was then one of that bishop's clergy, but now presides as abbot in the monastery at the mouth of the river Tyne. Being present, said he, and very well acquainted with his course of life, I found it to be most worthy of a bishop, as far as it is lawful for men to judge. But I have known by the experience of others, and more particularly of my own, how great his merit was before him who is the judge of the heart, having been by his prayer and blessing brought back from the gates of death to the way of life. For when in the prime of my youth I lived among his clergy, applying myself to reading and singing, but not having yet altogether withdrawn my heart from youthful pleasures, it happened one day that as we were travelling with him, he came into a plain and open road, well adapted for galloping our horses. The young men that were with him, and particularly those of the laity, began to entreat the bishop to give them leave to gallop, and make trial of the goodness of their horses. He at first refused, saying it was an idle request, but at last, being prevailed on by the unanimous desire of so many, "Do so," he said, "if you will, but let Heribald have no part in the trial." I earnestly prayed that I might have leave to ride with the rest, for I relied on an excellent horse, which he had given me, but I could not obtain my request. When they had several times galloped backwards and forwards, the bishop and I looking on, my wanton humor prevailed, and I could no longer refrain. But though he forbade me, I struck in among them, and began to ride at full speed, at which I heard him call after me, "Alas, how much you grieve me by riding after that manner!" Though I heard him, I went on against his command. But immediately the fiery horse, taking a great leap over a hollow place, I fell, and lost both sense and motion, as if I had been dead, for there was in that place a stone, level with the ground, covered only with a small turf, and no other stone to be found in all that plain, and it happened, as a punishment for my disobedience, either by chance or by divine providence so ordering it, that my head and hand, which in falling I had clapped to my head, hit upon that stone, so that my thumb was broken and my skull cracked, and I lay, as I said, like one dead. And because I could not move, they stretched a canopy for me to lie in. It was about the seventh hour of the day, and having lain still, and as it were, dead from that time till the evening, I then revived a little, and was carried home by my companions, but lay speechless all the night, vomiting blood, because something was broken within me by the fall. The bishop was very much grieved at my misfortune, and expected my death, for he bore me extraordinary affection. Nor would he stay that night, as he was wont among his clergy, but spent it all in watching and prayer alone, imploring the divine goodness, as I imagine, for my health. Coming to me in the morning early, and having said a prayer over me, he called me by my name, and as it were waking me out of a heavy sleep, asked whether I knew who it was that spoke to me. I opened my eyes and said, "I do, you are my beloved bishop." "Can you live?" said he. I answered, "I may, through your prayers, if it shall please our Lord." He then laid his hand upon my head with the words of blessing, and returned to prayer. When he came again to see me, in a short time, he found me sitting and able to talk, and being induced by divine instinct, as it soon appeared, began to ask me whether I knew for certain that I had been baptized. I answered, I knew beyond all doubt that I had been washed in the laver of salvation, to the remission of my sins, and I named the priest by whom I knew myself to have been baptized. He replied, If you were baptized by that priest, your baptism is not perfect, for I know him, and that having been ordained priest, he could not, by reason of the dullness of his understanding, learn the ministry of catechizing and baptizing. For which reason I commanded him altogether to desist from his presumptuous exercising of the ministry, which he could not duly perform. This said, he took care to catechize me at that very time, and it happened that he blew upon my face, on which I presently found myself better. He called the surgeon, and ordered him to close and bind up my skull where it was cracked, and having then received his blessing, I was so much better that I mounted on horseback the next day, and travelled with him to another place, and being soon after perfectly recovered, I received the baptism of life. He continued in his see 33 years, and then ascending to the heavenly kingdom, was buried in St. Peter's porch, in his own monastery, called Indurauda, in the year of our Lord's incarnation, 721. For having by his great age become unable to govern his bishopric, he ordained Wilfrid, his priest, bishop of the Church of York, and retired to the aforesaid monastery, and there ended his days in holy conversation. End of chapter 6 of the Ecclesiastical History of England by Venerable Bede.